Okay. All right. Okay, Taryn. Welcome on today's podcast.
Hello,
So, real time man. All right, let's just get straight into it, right?
in real
Okay.
time.
I'm gonna call him real time man. Is that okay? Is that okay?
The funny real time boy.
The funny real time. All of those work. They might be a little unprofessional. I don't think I can go by those publicly, but I can support the cute little pet nicknames that we have for each other right now. That's all good. I'll find you guys
Whoa.
some pet names soon. That'll be great.
I
It'll be
already
like
have a list of them, to
Oh
be
God.
honest.
You do?
Oh,
You
wow,
actually
wonderful.
do?
Mainly for me. Mainly for me. Oh,
Excuse
I
me?
see. Oh, okay, I see. So there's favorites. Okay, I understand.
Whoa.
I'll never be as cherished as you guys ever will be by the fan base. I'm sorry. Well, one day maybe. One day I'll live to tell the tale.
We'll see.
I
Yes.
think a lot of people have messaged me calling me Mr. Real Time, which is a very funny name because it reminds me a lot of Mr. Worldwide, like Pitbull. And
Oh
so
my
every time
gosh.
someone calls me Mr. Real Time, I
Worldwide.
imagine myself bald with sunglasses, and I'm like, yeah. And like that's not interesting
Start
brand
rocking on
idea,
the floor.
I think actually every time I drop anything new of real time, it should just be me bald going, yeah. And like, this is what's happening. And like, that's all that I say. And then it just like cuts to me with hair. And I'm just like, hey guys, like, okay, I'm getting off
I love
topic.
this. Yeah,
Okay.
let's get on with the questions.
All right.
We
Okay.
have like
So,
12 of them.
well, I'm excited to be on the show. I have followed you guys since I've seen the Lil Jet episode, which was really awesome. And so I've just been eagerly excited to see what we could do on a show. I'm interested on your questions. Definitely. We were able to chat a little bit, which is great too. So I'm ready to take a look at. I love what you guys are doing with indie horror and everything like that, and making specifically a podcast for that for fans is a really great idea. And so I'm ready to answer whatever questions you or fans might have. That sounds like fun to me. I'm down.
So, James Jackson, what do you say? Let's get right into it, shall we?
Let's
I'm all
go.
for that.
All right, let's go. Let's do this. All right. So, Taryn, so what got you into pursuing game development? What inspired you?
So like I would say that's like a big question because so I've been interested in Five Nights at Freddy's since the game came out, right? So the very first one, I've been just like a diehard fan from everything, from Five Nights at Freddy's 1 to Help Wanted 2. Like every single game I've been such a huge fan of. Specifically, game development kind of started when a little bit before my era of FNAF. So I first got really into my game development side when I first played one of my first video games ever, which was Lego Star Wars. I think it was my first video game ever. Lego Star Wars on the Xbox. I think just the Xbox or maybe Xbox 360. I don't remember. I don't. It was my dad's game. Like my dad loved like Lego Star Wars. Come on, let him cook. That's what I say. And ever since to me, which is super interesting, because I know that a lot of people don't feel this way. Is I actually like the Lego Star Wars games for their immersivity. I always thought that their idea of making a big hub on like Mos Eisley or like another planet or something like that was so cool to me. I loved playing like the Lego Star Wars Clone Wars game when it came out because, and I didn't even watch the show back then. I just played the game because I loved how like immersive it was. And I think it was really just about being able to play a game in like a universe I loved and like the fan base. Like I didn't really know what fandom meant back then. But that was definitely it. Being able to play in my fandom and like something that I really enjoyed and being able to be immersed, but also have the sort of aspect of some fun gameplay and like still having it be a fun experience. And like it's kind of a little bit of like it's not tongue in cheek, but it's playful and it's fun. That to me was so interesting to me. And I also used to, I mean, I still do. I love theme parks and everything like attractions like that. And I think it's all about that like immersivity aspect with a mix of like the play aspect. And honestly, that's really what game design and development is about. So I think really how that stemmed was I would play these games and I'd be super interested in like how theme parks work and like the marketing and like the management and like how would you like build something like this? Like what's your cool idea for this? How would you like plan like a map around this? And like, oh, what's the perfect way to like funnel people in, stuff like that. And I think that's kind of what spawned the whole idea of I'd love to like make games and stuff like that. Which is really interesting because I attempted to do that starting with Scratch of all things,
Oh,
which of course everyone probably knows what Scratch is, you know, if you're following indie game dev scene, like yeah. And I kind of fell off from there and I went into a more of a video editing side because it was something I was just able to grab onto more. And honestly, at my young of an age and just kind of how my brain works, I couldn't really grasp onto something that wasn't directly visual. So it kind of stopped and ended with Scratch. Once it got into really numbers and variables, my brain kind of checked out.
I know what that's so, yeah. like.
It's not always super fun because, you know, I'd love to be able to just sit down and like crank at some numbers. I mean, I don't because I hate numbers, but like I hate having to deal with math. I mean, I wish I could, right? Because it would be wonderful to like have that skill, but you know, it's kind of a hard thing to do, which I didn't realize it would be, for being, neurodivergent. Thank God. We were just talking about that. neurodivergent, having autism is a little bit, hard to, kind of focus on things. So I guess that's really it, but yeah, that's kind of how it got into game development. So sorry. Yeah. Continue. My boy.
But before
I was just trying to say, I know what that's like.
Yeah.
Wait. Oh, okay. Wait, Jackson, wait. Oh, I actually did not know.
No, you're good. You're good.
Oh, I'm really? So sorry.
Oh, well, that, all right.
But yeah, no.
It's not your fault. If you aren't on the spectrum, we can sniff each other out. That's kind of how that works. So it's like, you don't have to worry about
it. It's like a magnet.
Someone could be under your nose, and like, I could be like a canine. I'm just like, oh, I know that.
So pretty much you're both like two opposites that just attract.
Mm. Yeah, autistic people attract autistic people. It's kind of like it's like a thing.
It's like a web, you know.
It's like a spectrum.
It's like a spectrum. Okay,
I'm trying to hold in my excitement because I wanted to be a little bit off topic. It won't be too long. I just wanted to ask you since you brought up Lego Star Wars. So I used to be a fan of Star Wars at one point. So I just want to ask, who is your favorite character from Star Wars? Just that's all I want
to
know.
Well, you said used to, so I know I'm going to make you upset. My favorite character is Rey Skywalker from the sequel movies. I friggin' love
her. How dare you speak her name? How dare you speak her last name?
I love Rey. I love Rey so much. The story of identity, the story of empowerment is peak cinema, in my opinion. I know I am regarded as insane, but I also love everything of Star Wars. So even if you don't like the sequels, that's fine because I can name off like seven other characters I love. Like I love Kanan Jarrus. I love Sabine. I love Qui-Gon.
I like the funny bar guy with the four arms.
You Dexter Jexter? Is that isn't Jester? Oh yeah,
I think it is. Yeah, I used to be obsessed with Star Wars all the time. Like my dad got me into it, or understatement. It's more like he indoctrinated me into Star Wars.
I think that is every parent's goal is to indoctrinate their fandom or specifically Star Wars.
Indoctrinate children into the Star Wars.
That is true though. I mean, we always get indoctrinated at least into one single fandom, whether we like it or not. We're not going to realize that until it happens, and we're like, ah, shit, no, that's what happened. Am I allowed to swear on this show? I want to ask.
Go for it.
I think it's fine. I think.
What if I was to tell you I never watched a single Star Wars film in my life?
Fazbear's, you said you were inspired by Five Nights at Freddy's, like the franchise. So, how did you get into Five Nights at Freddy's? At all, like, where did you start? Like, what brought you into the fandom?
I'm pretty boring and basic when it comes to how I got into FNAF. I watched Markiplier play it. However, I will always be proud of remembering my very first watch ever was I don't remember exactly who it was, but I think it was I Has Cupquake. I remember that it was, it was their gameplay. And I remember specifically, I very vivid thought was, oh yeah, I was creepy and everything like that. And I remember trying to be like, oh, this isn't creepy. I don't like this. Like that was the first thing. I was trying to be all macho. I was like, not creepy. I would never be scared of this. And when I saw the dining room, I don't know if anyone else has had this thought. When I first saw the dining room, I thought it was like a Willy Wonka, like saw trap. I thought that the paper, like, hats for parties were not hats. I thought those were like rotating like drills that would like compress the room and like you would like die like Indiana Jones 2. Like I thought that room would just like crush everyone in like and like the drills would start spinning. And so I was like, that's too scary for me, man. I can't do that. That's too scary.
Boys.
And like it's so funny because now that I look at it, I'm just like, dude, that's a dining room, bro. Like, that's a dining room, bro. Like, come on. Which is really funny because I remember as a kid, I was so strong at that, being like, oh, no. Those are saws. They're going to kill me. Like, I cannot play this game. This is too dangerous. But yeah, I'm very, I started with Markiplier, but really, because I remember that's definitely who got me into it. And then I kind of just let myself get up from there and just keep going, getting stronger and stuff like that. But yeah.
I really like the lore behind it and everything. That's what really got me into it.
Funny thing that you mentioned it, when I first saw the dining room, I thought it was just a series of houses, like a neighborhood or something like that.
Oh, interesting.
Yes, it's like it kind of reminds me of that Mario 64 personalized thing that went on for every copy of FNAF is personalized.
Dude, we really are autistic. Like, we're on like a whole nother level. Like, that's guaranteed.
We are connected.
Like, we are connected in our ways of just thinking random bullshit about Finance at Freddy's. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Proud of myself. Yeah. I promise there'll be no drills in real time. So sorry. I know I've just disappointed the entire Home Depot fan base, but like, I'm not gonna add any drills. Sadly.
There's a fandom for Home Depot.
Oh, dude, the Home Depot speed running for how to build a fence is nuts. Okay, dude, somebody did it in a week. That's crazy.
Oh my god.
The speed run for that. Holy.
Yeah, aren't you like a speed run professional or something like that, Hawks?
I am. Yeah, for video games, not Home Depot. I don't speedrun Home Depot or like IKEA or anything like that.
I do.
We speedrun IKEA.
Safar does.
I do. Dude, I love Home Depot, man. There's nothing. Dude, nothing goes wrong with Home Depot. That's all I'm going to say right now. Change my mind.
Oh, yeah. What about the tragedy of Home Depot in 2011?
Oh no. Not that. Wait, whatever.
Say, you say nothing goes wrong? Why? Because you're trying to cover up what you did?
Oh no!
They got me!
You got me!
We've been found out!
Oh no!
We gotta go! Everyone starts just dropping out of the Discord call. Start getting blocked on everything. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. I derailed. A little bit. I'm back.
All good.
Okay.
Oh my god. So, back on the topic of FNAF, well, we're coming back on topic.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say is your favorite FNAF title or favorite fan game?
Oh, okay. I'll answer both. I just said obviously, and now I'm thinking about a thousand things. Okay, so I'm a little bit interesting, right? So I think Final Fantasy Freddy's 1 and 2 are masterpieces of a game. I love them so much, and I think that they're very, very simple. They go out to do one small thing, and I think they do it perfectly. And nice. I love them so much. I think FNAF 1 and 2 are just amazing. And the way that I've like ever like quote-unquote ranked Final Fantasy Freddy's games is on everything is 8 and above. Like it is basically like you get an S tier and an A tier, and then like maybe one B tier game. That's it. So for favorite fan game, I definitely think it's Joy of Creation, only because I am so impressed with how Nixon does his storytelling and like how he put together the idea of like every single night is unique and there's a challenge, and it just the visuals and the gameplay, it is brilliant. I am genuinely so unbelievably impressed and inspired by Joy of Creation. I mean, I think it's interesting because I know that some people get upset when there's like a very unique or new story in fanverse, which I never really understood, because you know a lot of the biggest games in fanverse are something completely unique and new, like on a storytelling aspect, right? They either might do a completely different universe or might just do something specifically. It's like they go on a completely different realm, which to me I think is, I love that so much. Which is kind of my goal on this one, is it's like, yes, we're doing Finance of Freddy's 1, but we're telling a story that would hypothetically be in the same universe and timeline as original FNAF. It's just basically like a chapter that that happens before or after. Because, you know, timeline-wise, nothing's ever been confirmed for FNAF. It's only been slightly confirmed, you know? So it's like, it's like we want this like this whole idea with like our character brother or like the paper the as Dako says Playtomatronic. Like we want all of that and like Donovan and the other characters that we have, like we want that story to still exist. Like if it was like a part of that story, we want it so that it can still exist without rewriting anything, retelling anything. It's just like if you flip the page over of the book of FNAF and just entered the next story, the next like set of chapters, and then you're able to tell another story. Because to me, it's like that's a whole writing challenge on its own, and I think is really interesting to try and capture that, specifically if you try and do something that's a part of the same story and with a little bit of a different vibe. Like, we're definitely doing a little bit differently than regular FNAF. We're not being one-to-one Scott, that's for sure. We're trying to be similar, but we'll never be one-to-one Scott, because, you know, no one can do Scott like Scott. You know, that's not possible. Well, yeah. You've tried, but, you know, not even Emil Macko can do it, which I'm being honest. Oh, man. Oh, man, he's got really close. I'm just saying. Anyways, but yeah. I digress. So for my favorite FNAF game ever, probably have to say Help Wanted 2. I love Help Wanted 2. Only because FNAF 1 and 2, they're at the top. I think they're masterpieces. But then after that, my favorites go, like, FNAF 1 and 2 are, like, tied. And then it goes, like, Help Wanted 2. And then it goes to Security Breach. And then it goes to, like, every other game.
The all the newer ones? 1, 2, then all the newer ones?
Yeah. 1, 2, I like, yeah. And then, like, basically all the rest are similar to there. I had a list a while ago, and it probably hasn't changed, but, you know, I love every single game. They're all, like eight. Like, if you drop me in front of, I mean, and of course, Pizzeria Simulator is, like, up there. It's, I think it's, again, another masterpiece of Scott's. Like, it gotta be there. The only one that's technically in the B tier is literally only Ultimate Custom Night, and that's only because I'm just generally not a huge fan of the gameplay aspect of FNAF. It's never been a huge thing for me. So to specifically like be in a game that's only about the gameplay, it's just not my style. Now, is it bad? Absolutely not. Dude, people have so much fun with that, and I absolutely do not feel like I don't dislike anything. It's just not my thing personally. That's all it is. Nothing bad. It's just like, it's not my go-to. That's all it is. So that's why it's still like, it's still 8 out of 10, still a solid 8, because I think FNAF can't lose. That's what I'm saying.
All right. Okay. My turn, man. Let's do this.
Your turn, boy.
Let's
Mr.
go.
Mr. Safars, you back at it again. So, all right. Okay. So Help Wanted 2. All right. So that's your favorite FNAF fan game, you said, right?
The main game. Yes.
Main game. Okay. So this is going to be back on the, back into like inspiring you to like pursuing game development.
Mm-hmm.
What inspired you to develop the real time game?
So like specifically like what inspired me to do real time out of all fan games?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's interesting because actually the story of real time is a little bit more different than just, oh, I did it. Because I actually originally wanted to create an original, title. I actually wanted to do, my own fan game of FNAF that was set in a like as a FNAF 2 inspired sequel. It's kind of like, oh, like what if like in the realm of FNAF 2, like if there's like another location with like a different set of animatronics, what would you do there, right? And so I built like a fun little story with it, and then I remember reaching out to Mr. Freddy 64, who is the coder of FNAF 2 Deluxe and FNAF Deluxe and FNAF 3 Deluxe and Ultimate Custom Night Deluxe and the Deluxe series. He's a phenomenal guy. And I remember messaging him, and I was basically just like, hey, I want to create this game that specifically the entire idea is using pre-rendered to make like super unbelievable photorealistic graphics, similar to how I think Juniors did a really good job in that. Because it's like, I think a lot of people use pre-rendered and they don't realize that you can do all these things just the exact same way, and you're missing out on having it to have the most, like, if you can render in Blender super photorealistic graphics, that's what you should be trying to do. Because imagine if you can do that. Imagine how beautiful that would look. That would be insane, right? Like, yeah. That's what I think. I feel like if you're able to do that, it would be, like, mind-blowing. It would be, like, the best you could ever do. Anyways, I digress. That's why I love Scott's.
What you said, Mr. Freddy, what's their name?
Freddy 64.
Mr. Freddy 64. Wait, so FNAF Deluxe Collection? Oh, I'm in their Discord.
Oh, awesome. Yeah.
We follow them. Yeah, I do know them, but I never spoke to them.
he used to be our lead developer for the game. He used to do the Click Team because he works on Click Team. And now that we've switched over to Unity, we have, of course, a Unity team on that. But Mr. Freddy, he's now kind of like our, how do I call it?
Supervisor?
I would say he's more of like our authenticity checker. So it's like we send in the builds and he goes like, this is one pixel off. And we're like, so that we have to go back and like change it. And he's like, all right. And he goes like, this animation only plays for 0.5 seconds, not 0.6. And we're just like, all right, let's go back. So like, we have fun. Like there's no sort of like it's a little sad that obviously we couldn't have him do it on Click Team because we ran into our issues with that. But we're still all connected together and everything like that. And like, we all are like always working on the game in some way, which is really fun. It's a pleasure. It's still great that he gets to work on his own games. We get to work on our games. There's no sort of bad blood. So that's really nice. That was something I was a little worried about, and we completely avoided that, which is awesome.
Everyone. Everyone, they got what they want at the end.
Yeah. And if anything, Mr. Freddy, I think he really appreciates that sort of freedom he has, because he still gets to be a part of our legacy and he still gets to really do what's a lot of fun, which is to just be a part of this game and like give his thoughts and his notes and have a little bit of a say. But he doesn't have to now grind every single day to implement a new feature. Like, oh God, right? Like, that sounds hell. Which of course now is the Unity and me. That's like that's on me and the Unity bro. So it's like, okay. shout out my boys James and Casey. They're the goats. They're our Unity team. They are absolutely awesome. I would say specifically going back to your original point, because tangents are fun. I wanted to do another game that was inspired off of that. And when I messaged Mr. Freddy, he was like, yeah, that sounds cool, but just let me know when more people get involved, because I was just a random guy and I've never made a fan game of FNAF before. I've been in this community since I was 9. But I've never really gotten to make something of that before, because that wasn't my realm. My realm was being a fan and enjoying things, but it was mainly more about the video editing side and music. So when I was like, I want to make this fan game and I want to do it, he's like, I could believe you, but you know, just get some more people involved and let's get it done. And then I got our animator, Divian SFM. Oh my God. He's amazing. Again, you all need to watch Bloodletting, which is his Toy Bonnie video, which is beautiful. And so we made a team and we originally went, okay, I would love to make this game, but the truth is we need to prove a concept to see if we can even make our technology possible in Click Team, because that seems to be the biggest issue ever. No one's been able to crack the code. So we're like, okay, let's start with FNAF 1. Let's make FNAF 1. And then hopefully, you know, we were like, let's get two birds with one stone. It's like if we can do FNAF 1 and it's possible, then we can make our full game, right? And then we thought, well, if we can make FNAF 1 and then we have any sort of following, we can then say, hey, now that we made this game, we're transitioning over to this other game. And maybe we'll like put a whole story that's like a 2-game or 3-game, like whole connected trilogy or something like that. Maybe that could be fun. Right. And so we did that and we're like, all right, let's start with FNAF 1. And so we did that and we had fun. And I post a little thing on it on Twitter. And then 20,000 views later, it blew up. And so I immediately went, okay, we have some animations done. Let's just get it rolling. Let's get it rolling. So then I spliced together this trailer of only our animations done, because we were just getting animations done and getting all that sorted out first before we threw it into Click Team. And was like, dude, let's capitalize on this hype, because we wanted to get people like involved. Like we wanted to like try and share the progress that we've made and things like that. And we were very ready to that. If the game wouldn't happen, we just tell people, be like, hey, we don't seem to find a way that it's going to work without lagging. And it would have been sad, but you know, that's how game development works. You got to put in the efforts, and to try and grab onto that attention, I felt like would be smart, because then we'd be able to have people who are invested in, like, we could build up a community already in there, which is really cool, because we were so ready that if we ran into problems, we would go and do something else. Like if we ran into problems, like we would go and like try and find any other option. So to me, it's like the idea of being like, oh, don't try and like market it now, is it's like, well, we're gonna put all of our effort into this, right? So it's like we're gonna really, really try our best to make this possible. And we also made sure to have a disclaimer. Like, I want this to be clear. When we did the trailer and everything like that, that was the animations you will see in game. And as you already seen, obviously, with our demo out and everything like that, we had a lot of people, what's the right term? Not believe us. We had a lot of people think that we were full of shit, and that we wouldn't be able to make this game possible. And for a moment, I was really scared that we wouldn't, because we already made some good progress before we, like, when we uploaded the trailers, like, we were already testing some things out. And the truth is, of course, people were worried about that. But we went through months and months of figuring out our best solution on ClickTeam. And we figured it out, which was really, really interesting that we got it to work. But then our only issue why we switched over to Unity is that the only way that we can get it to work is when we wanted to run our files, there was literally like a 2-frame drop. And the only way to do that is to write a custom extension to remove that lag. And that custom extension would only work on Windows. So if we wanted to port our game to anything, to Mac, to Linux, to Android, to anything like that, it wouldn't be possible. And honestly, the truth is, for long term, short term, whatever, if we got into like a fanverse situation, if like we wanted to spread this publicly or anything like that, like we want to get, like, obviously now that we've blown up, right? There's a lot of different options on the table. Of course, we get to release this on our own, and Scott just kind of goes like, I don't know what they're doing. I'm just looking the other way. Like, that's fine, right? Or if Scott says don't do that, then of course we'll take that. But if we like got on Fanverse, it's like, what are we gonna tell him? Are we gonna be like, yeah, sorry, your fans can only play this on Windows? That would suck. So like, we try to think of every opportunity, and I'll be honest, we got to switch to Unity because we got to share it with as many people as possible. So that's kind of how it started. It was I contacted Mr. Fritti about an original idea with its own little story and everything like that. And then we worked together for an idea that it was like, all right, I think what we should do is we should start it off with a test first. And then if we can prove that we can get that done, and like, we were like, we thought it was like, it'll take like a month or two. Boom, month or two, get the game out. That's it. We'll move on to our big game. 5 months in, guys. Like, oh, wow. Yeah, no, that takes a lot more time. I've been learning so much about game development. I've known about some community management stuff because I used to work on with Roblox games with stuff like that. But game development is a tough cookie. It is fun. It is so engaging. I've been able to work with such amazing people. And I'm so glad that the community I have with my developers is like, we are so connected and like honest with each other. We're here to like be supportive. I'm so happy for the people who I work with. It's fantastic. And the people who I've been able to find, and like, we found each other in such great ways. It's so cool. Especially Mr. Freddy, like, just, we like messaged each other, and like, now we're like best buds. It's awesome. But it's interesting to think about how it started from like, oh, let's do this as a test. And now it's a pretty big game. It's pretty big. Again, I feel so silly to always be like, oh, you know, it's like one of the biggest fan games out there right now. Like, it's huge. It's like, but it is kind of true. So it's like, I hate saying it. Anyways, but yeah, it's crazy to think about the backstory on that. It's been fun, and it will continue to be fun. We're putting in lots of effort to make sure that we have this really, really cool game so that you guys as fans, you know, talking to fans, can enjoy this idea that we're doing and what we're trying to put into it. So of course, as the game went on, we put in story and we put in ideas, stuff like that. And, you know, we put in like other like things that kind of like extend it from just a very simple remake, so that we can try and do as much as we can with the platform we have, because I'll be honest, if the game was just real time, that's kind of cool, but I feel like it's a lot more interesting, a lot more immersive to really kind of let the audience that we have experience what I want to do, which is tell a story. That was my whole goal. So if I have the platform, let's do it, right? Let's have some fun. Let's keep it a little bit more than just, oh, let's just make it some fun little remake. Because I'll be honest, we've seen some remakes before. And if we're just going to do another one, I mean, it might just be like, oh, that's cool. And then it might just fade away. I don't really want to like have it be done and dusted. I'd rather stay around here for a little bit longer and hang out with some more people, because I've been having so much fun, dude. It's awesome. Which, speaking of which, thank you guys for letting me be on this show and inviting me. I mean, this is awesome. Again, Little Jets episode, very cool. And I am having fun already because I get to talk to people. I'm lonely. No, I'm joking. It's lots of fun. It's lots of fun. I'm excited for your next questions too. So yeah, thank you guys for letting me be on the show. Absolutely.
You're very welcome. It is a pleasure.
Yeah, so about those questions, you accidentally answered two of them without us even getting the chance to ask them. So
I am omnipotent. You must understand.
yeah, that was a very, very
I'm all knowing.
I mean, yeah, it saves us some time.
Yeah,
I guess
we're gonna have to skip two questions, but don't worry. But
what were those specific questions?
Were there any challenges with the project? And did
oh
you
yes,
expect the project well, to have to
I can get a little bit into challenges because I'm sure people would love to hear about that, specifically with ClickTeam. The biggest challenge with ClickTeam was that we were trying to do originally with PNG, like PNG sequences, so many frames of animation and having to do with file size and compression and getting them all to play and to preload assets and things like that. That was hell. That was so much to figure out. Actually, the easiest part, which other people don't seem to understand, is all of our characters can be in individual rooms. And a lot of people think that's like individual, like PNG sequences and things like that. Nope. They're just able to be in those individual rooms, like isolated on their own. People just don't know how to do that with SFM. We figured out how to do that. And with Click Team, the biggest issue, again, was making it accessible. We got it to work. We finally got it to work. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, it would work perfectly. We literally had it so that you would load up the game, and it would be a small file size, and then it just works. And I have proof of it. I can always show you guys. I have literally the MFA sitting here, so I can just, like, well, I have the EXE. But I have the EXE I can just pull up, and then, boom, you can just see it work in Click Team, which obviously always blows people away whenever I show them that, because they're like, how'd you get it working? I got it! And I'm like, yeah, I don't know how to tell you. Which is always, like, it's so much fun, because we've been told before that our game is impossible and not, could never happen in Click Team. And, of course, they were wrong.
You did.
But we got it working, yeah.
We have our ways.
We have our ways.
And really, the goal is specifically with the Click Team and with our Unity version is once our game releases, we're going public on how we did it, right? Now, the one thing we can't do is we can't make it open source, because if we decided to like make our code open source, that is literally just, hey guys, come get rid of our Steam verification and come access all of these files that are basically made to make it be a very similar remake of Five Nights at Freddy's for free on the internet. Have fun. Like, yeah, okay, we can't do that. that would be really silly. But we can share how we did our animations and how we implemented them in game and how I made it work without lag and like how we reduced file size and everything like that. I would love to share that with this community. That would be wonderful. Pretty cool. Yeah, we've worked really hard on that, and we're really, really proud of it. We've now, only now, gotten to a point where we finally solved everything, every single one of our issues, meaning porting, meaning file size, meaning lag, meaning everything like that. We have got it solved and done, and it's taken 5 months. So if people are wondering, being like, why don't you just drop the game? Like, why is it taking so long? Or like, why do you not show us like real gameplay or things like that? Why are you only showing us the animations? And I'm like, because do you know how hard it is? Like, it took us so, no one has been able to do this. No one. And it took us 5 months to do it. And we have been told before that not even the big programmers know how to do this. They think it's impossible. And I'm like, I mean, I don't know, man. It took a long time. And I don't blame them, obviously, because this is such a ridiculous thing to do, is to use pre-rendered assets. Like, okay, buddy, why would you? Yeah. But we did figure out how to do it. And I'm really proud of that. I'm amazingly proud of the team and everyone who's been working on it. So, and we can't wait to show what we have in store. But I can never say a release date, right? Because, oh, God, that would be forbidden. I could never be open and honest with my fate.
You can never reveal
With the demo, you just kind of just throw it on everyone, you know? It'd be yeah. Kind of like a situation like that.
Yeah. No, I know. I'm just saying, like, I can never, like, we don't know the release date. But let's just say we solved all of our issues and we have a lot of the stuff done. So I'll just leave it at that. Working on stuff, always that sort of thing. So that's just like, that was the biggest challenge. I'm really proud we were able to work over. And I'm really actually excited to share with the Click Team community, because that one issue that we ran into, only having the lag be like something that could be solved on the Windows side, someone's going to figure out how to do it. It could be Emil. It could be anyone, like any of those developers. They might pick it up and they might go, I figured a way to fix it. And that is 100% should be on them. Like, to me, it's like, that's what matters, is this goes back to the fan base, and the fan base is able to be able to make this game. And I know that the fan base is stuck in Click Team, and they're stuck in and technically an outdated, very much outdated software. But this is how we love FNAF, and we love doing this way. So, like, hey, let me show you what we made, right? There's no point of me being like, oh, I figured it out, and I'm like, I'm gonna keep it to myself. Like, no, okay, buddy, okay. Yeah. All right. That's not our team. That's not how we do things. We're going to try and make sure that everyone has the ability to do that. All right. I'm going to stop waffling. I'm back.
No, to be honest, I'm okay with listening to what you have to share anyways. So I was just being respectful for that. So as James and Jackson.
I'm glad. I really didn't want to be like saying too much stuff. And it's just like,
no.
Thank you, Taryn. I appreciate you, dog. We have other questions, but I appreciate you.
No, you're fine.
It's all right. Yeah,
man.
So if you're doing speaking, then you're doing something right, you know?
Maybe.
How did you get a collaboration with Spawn Point Interactive's Fractured franchise?
Oh yeah, so this is fun. With most of my collabs ever, the way that I secured these really, really crazy deals, you know, like early access with like Daco and Fusion and Razbowski, like all of these like crazy deals, is I messaged them. Like, I do think that there is something to do with how popular the game has been. And I think that because of how popular the game is, I definitely had a bigger foot in the door when it comes to wanting to do stuff like that. I mean, at the end of the day, there's really not that can be said about just like, oh, you can always contact everyone, because that's not true. A lot of people don't listen to you. But I do think there's a lot of fear about reaching out to people in the community because you think that they're not going to listen to you. And I've been trying to take as many chances as possible to do as many collaborations as possible, because if I have a little platform, or if I'm just anyone will listen to me at all, I'm going to reach out. Right. I think that's super important. And I really think that specifically I want to like connect the community more. I want to like bring more people in. To me, that's like, that means so much to me. I really think that this, that doing more things together and as like a, big project together means so much more than doing nothing. I'll be honest, the way that I reached out to Raz is I asked him. I mean, we got big, and like that, and Raz noticed us and he commented on us, and that's kind of where that foot went in the doors, because he said one thing first and that led us in here. But we've collaborated with a lot of different people. Like, we've collaborated with Baddington, I've collaborated with Valox. These are all people who have over 100,000 subscribers and like attention and viewers and things like that. And again, I'm not trying to say like, oh, because it's awesome that they have all these things. Like, I'm proud of them for them, for their platforms and everything like that. But these are normal people. These are not people, when I talk to them, they think like, oh, I am on a whole nother level than you are. No, they're awesome. Like, people who just love FNAF. And so like, when I get to contact them, who truly kind of was nobody and still am, I'm not like, no one goes, oh, it's Terran Real-Time FNAF. They go, oh, Real-Time FNAF, I know that game. But they're not like, Terran Real-Time FNAF. I'm not like a Nixon, right? I don't think I'm ever going to be that way. And I'm not trying to make like a whole thing about me being the next like fan dev, like personality or anything like that. I was just able to reach out to these people. And I think a lot of people sometimes are worried to just do that, and they'll be surprised how many people might respond, especially if you have something of real interest that people are looking at. I just say, honestly, a lot of it, though, I do have to say, probably has to do with how big the game has gotten. And there's only so much that I can say about like, oh, just reach out and stuff like that. Because the truth is, you might reach out to 1,000 people and not a single person will respond, because you might not have the sort of privilege I have and the platform that I have, which is really cool. I'm very, very happy about that. There's not much, you know, that could happen with that specifically. But I still do think, don't limit yourself from just the idea that you can't do it. Because my team, I've talked to them and be like, hey, should we reach out to this person? They're like, oh, I love them so much, but we're never going to get them. And then I'll be like, hey, guys, Baddington's on our project now. And they'll be like, what? And I'm like, and it's so funny because like, I love Baddington. I've loved his VHS since forever. And then I get on call with him and it's like, he's so chill. It's so just like a very chill and calming experience. And like, the same thing has happened with our other projects that we're working on. Like, in the future, it's like, I've contacted them and they're like, hey guys, we're working on this. And they go, and I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, I do that internally, because if I do that outwardly to them, they're going to be like, I swear to God, if you're going to eat me right now, I'm scared. Right. And I can't act that way around them. I can't be like, like that's not something I can do. Even though I did do that when I watched Fusion's video, I literally flipped out, and like my dev team was like, you gotta chill out, man. It's been so fun to like reach out to those people that like my dev team even themselves would think, oh, we have no chance to like ever contact them. And I think that's just a testament to, these people really care. And I mean, if we're gonna try to do something that's fun and interesting, no one's gonna go against you and be like, you know what, I think you suck, actually. I don't think I ever want to talk to you again. Like, yeah, I'm not. A lot of these people are truly fantastic, and they're truly they really care about doing something really fun and interesting. So when I reached out to them, I think a lot of people were way too scared of the idea of rejection, that they didn't realize that, dude, they might just reply back. And if they do, like, that is so sick.
So recently, in preparation for this episode, I binge watched your monitor series. So
yeah.
I binge watched that, and I was and one of the questions mean to ask was like, what was the story behind it? Like, what made you want to start developing this little side project in preparation for real time?
Okay, okay. So one of the things that I've always wanted to do with our project is that I've been really interested in keeping this fan base here, and I've been really interested in trying to build it up and make it really fun, because I really want to, like, I mean, a platform for your fan game is what a lot of developers want, right? And I want to really, my main goal here is I want to make a game, and I want to share it with people, and I want to make it like a big success, because that sounds awesome to me. But I also specifically want to do that with the Testament, because I truly think, I believe in representation. I believe that like representation in film and things like that, or in media or anything like that, is really important. And I think honestly, at a time right now, it's really important to stand up and say the biggest fan game that you've seen right now was made by people who simply just decided to work together, don't hate each other, all have fun, and you can do that too. Go have fun, right? And like, if we can build that up, do an entire game that's based off of those morals and those fundamentals, then release it, have people play it, and then say, hey, here's the tools to do it yourself. That is giving back to the community, where at 9 years old, that inspired me to be creative, inspired me to make whatever stories I wanted to, my music, everything like that. It all comes back to friggin' Living Tombstone, Try Hard Ninja, SFM. Yeah. Like, it all comes back to that. Fan games, Joy of Creation is such an important game to me. It like the everything about it, the storytelling, everything is so, it's emotional and it's energetic. I am so very glad and happy that I'm able to be in this community in a similar way that I felt my idols were when I first did it. I've been able to work with some of my idols, like Razbowski. He was one of the YouTubers I would watch, because I'd watch the trio, you know, I'd watch Daco. I guess there's more than a trio, right? Because there's Baz, 8-Bit Ryan, and then there's Daco and the Fusion and Raz. Like, you know, there's a lot of people in there. But I'd watch all those religiously, because I love their content. I would watch Daco, as he was my Security Breach guy. When Security Breach came out, I waited to play it, and I just watched Daco play the whole thing. I was there on stream when he found out Springtrap. I was like, oh! Like, I was like, he's back. Oh!
Yeah, he does always come back. Let's go.
He always comes back again for like the 50th time. Let's go. to see him play my game, I mean, when he first liked our tweet, I cried. Like, I was just sitting in my bed and I saw they liked the tweet, and I just paused and I cried. I straight up just was crying. Because Daco has meant so much to me as like a positivity figure and like a role model and everything like that. I know it's not super smart to like have role models of your YouTubers and things like that and people on media, but like I love him. He's so awesome. I love his energy and everything like that. So I apologize for being selfish in that way and just being so freaking giddy when that happened. And it was, dude, he got, this is off topic, but like, dude, he saw the December meme, which I is so lucky that he saw it. I can't believe he got that splash text on his video. We have splash text at the beginning of our game on the title screen that always splash a different name, like a different like quote. And he got December. And I'm so, oh my gosh, that's amazing. I'm so glad he got that. And Fusion got, it's Fusion, because we programmed that. But like, that's so cool. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's just amazing. I can't. But yeah, let me go back to spawn point, because I went all the way about that. I just reached out. That's it. Again, I just reached out. I don't think I actually covered on that. I joined their chat and I just said, hey, what's up? I love your guys' game. And they went, oh, what? You made the real time game? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, oh, that's sick. And then we got on a call for like 6 hours. And I called them at like 2 a.m. at night. And then like we hung up the call at like 5. That's not 6 hours. That's not 6 hours. For 3 hours. Sorry. I think it was because it was 6 a.m. So I was like, oh yeah, it was 6. Okay, not 5. And so that's where I got it wrong. No, we called from like 2 to 6. And so it was like just 4 hours of just like us talking about cool ideas and like getting to know each other and everything like that. So cool. Oh my gosh. And now we've been like friends and like close ever since. Which is wonderful. I'm so very, very happy again with all the people that I've met with this collaborative project. It's very, very cool. You guys are part of that, obviously, because we got to chat with each other just a little bit before this, and that was so much fun. Yeah. So yeah.
Okay, so while we're talking about collaborations, what would you say is your dream collaboration with something to do with like real time, say, or like anything else?
I would. Okay. By the way, I do want to just one thing first. I still have to talk about the monitor series and how background and things like that, because you guys did ask about like that story behind that development. I feel so bad because I totally lost tangent and I'm back.
Okay.
I haven't talked to anybody in weeks. They've kept me in a room of rubber rats. No. I just wanted to quickly say monitor series is his entire idea. I wanted to build up the story from there. And I really kind of wanted to just tell something that was like fun. Like I had originally that story for that other fan game, and so we've merged them all together. And so now we're doing hopefully three games, FNAF 1, 2, and something else. And I want to kind of tell like a whole story. And I have an entire thing planned for Brother, which is our character, and Donovan and Donovan's kid, and all three of those characters, well, technically four, because there's the trespasser at the end of Monitor series. There's a whole entire story that follows all four of those characters through three games, to tell a whole story that is basically, as I was just saying, like it is basically just like another chapter added to the original FNAF canon. So it's like if this was in canon, or if like this was like a part of the same timeline as like our own fan made project, it's like it wouldn't rewrite anything. Now people might not think it like fits in with FNAF or anything like that. We're trying to, but you know, people might not think that way. I want it so that it's like it could, right? So it's like if it was in there, it doesn't rewrite anything, it doesn't change any new events or stories. That's my big goal, because I think that's a lot of fun for me. I love the idea of like imagining like, oh, this could have been here the whole time, or like, oh, this could have happened, or blah 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 blah. That's really cool.
Yeah.
So I originally it's basically the story of the original concept, and now I've spread it across three games to really kind of tell the overall story. And you're gonna see a lot more with what we're doing with Brother and the other characters, specifically Donovan and Donovan's kid, all in the upcoming games. But of course, stay tuned to this one, because this one will have a conclusion to Monitor series, where all your questions will hopefully be answered, and then set up other things as well like that. I'm down to move on to the collab questions. I just needed to answer that because I feel so bad. I was like, oh, I'm like, oh, this is cool, and like that's it, the end. And I was like, okay, he didn't answer that, so move on. I don't bro avoided that in the worst way possible by just talking about random stuff. Okay, great.
But when you were talking about like Doko and that, I was gonna segue on and say, do you have any other dream collabs to do with like real time, or like anything that isn't real time, or like some personal thing maybe?
Okay, so does this mean dream collabs that haven't happened or have happened? Like, what would you say? Is this like
both? Any?
Both? Any? Okay. So dream collabs that have happened, dear Lord, a lot. Honestly, a lot, which is really, really cool. I'm really, really thankful, and like I am privileged to be able to be in the community again, where like these people want to reach out to me. I have my childhood heroes playing my game again. Like I already touched on this, but like Doko, everyone like that, that's amazing. And that's not really a collab, as more of they're just covering our game. But for dream collabs, I'm working with some really cool music artists, which is really cool. People from my childhood, little exclusive information. We're gonna have a song that comes out at the end of this month, based around real time. It'll have, maybe a little animation. It'll be a familiar face, or I would say voice. I know you guys have heard them before. I used to listen to them in my childhood. They're really, really cool. Super sweet guy. They are very, very talented. And they have been really, really good at doing like just being collaborative. It's been a lot of fun. And let's just say I'm collaborated with more music artists that you'll see in the upcoming month or two as we are preparing for our big release of our game. So that's all I'll say for that. For dream collabs, I've basically gotten everything that I've kind of really thought I would be able to, and more, because I never thought I'd be able to get like these people. Like I never thought I'd be able to work with Doko or like Fusion or Raz or anything like that for these early release demos. That was mind blowing. But like people like Baddington and stuff like that, those were like the, like, if I could almost get big enough, maybe I'd be able to reach them. And again, I was way too scared, because now that I had that platform and I talked to them, I thought it was going to be hell. I thought I'd have to like be super professional. Like, I mean, professional in a way, like I thought I'd have to be like, oh, good day, business. And now I can just kind of go up to them. I could be like, hey, I have this cool idea. And they go, oh, sure. Okay. Let's talk about it over call. Right. It's like, I didn't go up to them. I was just like, yo, my guy, let's do this right now. And they went like, I got you, bro. Let's do this. And like, we started just like dancing, like hitting the gritty. Like, that's not what, no, that's not how that worked. But we did end up having, like it wasn't very, there was a lot of fear that went away when I realized that these people were a lot more chill than I thought it was going to be, which is really, really nice, because I was very scared of having a lot of coldness from, I guess, my newness of being in this community, because I've been in FNAF since forever. But again, I haven't been in game development until August, until I was like, oh, I want to make this cool game. So, yeah, I haven't been able to kind of make my stay, if anything, which is a little, you know, a little unfortunate, because I, you know, I feel like it would have been nice for you guys all to get to know me beforehand. But, you know, can't do everything. I was too busy on the Star Wars wave. Okay, I was having so much fun on Star Wars, and then Five Nights at Freddy's. I was like, oh, that movie looks really good. and so then I went full crazy into FNAF, and I was like, okay, all right, I'm back. Oh, you got me this time. I left for a month. Okay, I had 1 month of Star Wars, and you pull me back in. Okay. But yeah. Dream Collabs. Kind of already done a lot, which is really, really cool. I've got to work with so many amazing animators and artists, and that's so, so cool. And there's more to come. So for fans who are interested in the collab stuff and stuff like that, stay tuned. Should be something really cool happening soon. It's really cool. I really hope that this is proof for other people that you can do just like this and hopefully get successful. I really hope that this kind of can kickstart me staying around here a little bit longer. I have been focusing on this as my big main thing, and if I get to do this as something that can like just be something that will be sustainable in like a way of like I can just exist, like maybe I can go into like YouTube content or something like that, so I can like stay afloat without having to like put all my effort into like a full-time job or something like that, because you know, I'm gonna need your money sometime, you know, right? Yeah, if that's able to do that way, that could be a really good testament to what the hell we can do here, because we can do a lot. We can do so much. It is it's funny to think that some people think that we can't absolutely take the world by storm, because we have. Yeah. And we can, and we've done it many times before. So like, I'm not gonna be the one who stops that, you know. If I'm in that position right now, so I'm not gonna go and be like, you know what, I think I'm gonna just go chillax by the fire. I'm gonna work my ass off. But yeah, okay, yeah, that Dream Collabs. Yeah, I'm very happy with what we've done so far, and I'm excited to what you guys will see soon in the future. It's pretty cool. Oh, my dream collab would be Scott. Yeah, no. If we can,
so surprised you didn't say him earlier. I can't lie.
If we could get in the fanverse, that would be great. Oh man. Oh, that would be really, really cool, dude. Like,
did it just we're off into your head?
No. I mean, I didn't, because like Scott, like he's not like a collab. Like I just when I thought of collab, I thought of like, you know, like I don't know. I like when I thought of collab, I thought like tangible, like I thought of possible. Like I'm gonna be honest, like I'd love to work with Scott. That dude does not reply to his emails. We're cooked. He is gonna ignore us, right? I mean, not like purposely. It's not like he's going like, oh, these guys, I hate real-time FNAF, get blocked. Like, no, that's not. You're not gonna turn into the general over us, right? He's not gonna be like, why did you make a pre-rendered game in Unity? It's a 3D engine. Like, yeah, no. But like, I also don't think he's ever gonna be like, yo, guys, I'm so hyped for this game. Sign this contract, bro. We got you. Like, I don't think it's ever gonna happen, sadly. Fanverse doesn't seem to be a place that we're able to get into, but I would love it. Obviously, we're all been prepared and we all are ready. So, like, if we ever like got that fateful phone call or something like that, like, I don't know that one. Or if we ever had like a lawyer show up to my house being like, I'm gonna need you to come here with us, and like it's not just Scott, it's like actually like his 3D glowing cube avatar, and he's like, yeah, so I actually look like this in real life, everything else is photoshopped, and I'm standing, I'm like, what the fuck. but like if we ever like were approached by him or like contact or anything like that, we are so ready, because we would love to do that. That'd be awesome. And we'd love to work with him on however we can, if it's like real time or something else, like whatever. Oh my God, we're so down. We are all of age, which is great. We're all meet under the requirements, and we all are super ready to like restart or do whatever we're needing to get our game in and to spread it to all the fans possible, because we can get really, really big, but of course nothing will nearly ever get as big as if Scott would be able to support us. So like, you know, it's like dream collab obviously would be Scott. But collab feels like, again, something, but you did say dream collab, you know, it's really probably not something that's going to happen, but you know, it would be a dream. No, I'm sure.
Never say never, I always say.
I hope so. But yeah.
So after I took a look at your demo that came out recently, I did get to play it, because I did have James play it. He actually streamed it to me because I wasn't feeling well, but I actually managed to...
Info, huh?
Yeah, and go ahead.
No, sorry. I thought the way that you worded it was like it was like, you know, I got to play. No, I made James do it. You know, I made it streaming to me. Like I'm
doing, like, had James stream it.
Like I made him did it for me. I was like, oh, okay.
No, we were too lazy to do it, so yeah, we had to force him to do it.
Yeah.
It was his job. Yeah, he was late on rent. I was like, all right, do the demo. continue.
Besides Jet, you know, because Jet, he did get me back into Five Nights at Freddy's. I will say that. So shout out to Jet
for that. Shout out to Jet.
And Spikes Ahoy.
Spikes Ahoy when it comes out somewhere else.
Real. Real.
What can we really expect real time FNAF to be released in the future?
Right. Okay. Right. Release date. So. Again, my biggest thing is I don't want to make a date, because I'm really worried that if I say something, if we miss it, it's going to make a lot of people upset and really like not feel so good, because I feel like our game already, we don't show a lot of it because we really want to kind of be, I mean, secretive is like a funny way, but like we want to be able to that when we show people, it's like, this is what we got, this is what we're proud of and we're ready for. We're not proud. We're not ready yet to show what we got so far. We have a lot of really good stuff. And so that's why we made this teaser game, is because we didn't want to leave people like fans in the dark, because it would really suck if we finally got a crap. We got all of our issues done and then we just go, okay, like, and then that's it. Right. It's like, we could have made a gameplay trailer. Right. And we're still working on that. That will come out soon. I can guarantee that. That one's going to come out a lot sooner than you think. And so like a gameplay trailer is already on the works and things like that, to just showcase that we have it in video. But like, again, only so much can be said about video. We wanted to at least show a little bit of what we've been working on. And the truth is, when it comes to like the teaser game like that, they're like, oh, we should have seen a night or anything like that. And I'm like, guys, how much do you think we got done? Like, I'm sorry, but like, not everything is done where it's like coded and programmed. It takes some time. I'm so sorry. But it's like, God, like I feel like there's a misconception that's like, oh, nah, man, you're holding back on like this whole big night and everything like that. And I'm like, I don't know how to tell you guys this, but like, we showed you what we got. Like, that's all we have the animations almost done, right? We have a lot of stuff almost done and we just need to implement it, but it took us this long to get everything working properly with not having like borders or like weird compression issues, like choppy graphics or lag, and it took all this time. And so we wanted to share exactly what we got, which was right here after all this time, and I'm proud of it, because this is what we've been working on all together. And so that's why also I've been doing all these side projects, is because like, I don't want to leave our fans in the dark. I don't want to leave them hanging. If we have the possibility, while we're trying to get this done, at the same time, we can also be working on like story or like music or like other things that we could be doing to keep our fan base engaged and excited for our game. That's connecting our group. That's making things like immersive and like continuing our fan base to be interested in our game. It would be, in my opinion, it would be kind of like, it can't be messed up if I'm just sitting around while we're getting this done. I mean, obviously I'm on the call every day. I'm always working, but like I have the ability with the position and the privilege that I have with this big fan base, get all of these artists together and get like these small and like big people all together to make really cool projects. Why would I not? Right. If you have the ability to connect or reach out to these people, you should do it. Right. That's kind of the burden of being a figure of a community, is it's like, if people look up to you, then like you have to either make sure that what they're looking at is a really pretty sight, or you need to make sure that they should at least look at you eye level. Right. Because if you keep skyrocketing and become this big skyscraper, you're going to start to put a corporate logo at the very top, and you should not. Like, that's not That's not how I roll with things. I would rather be right there with my audience and be honest, being, hey, it's not done yet. I'm not ready. And like, that's it. And I'm there within the community. Or if I'm still going to be on this gigantic pedestal, I'm at least going to make sure that the sun is not in their eyes. You know, I'm going to give them some sunglasses or something. So
yeah,
that's the kind of, the goal, at least. I want to have people be immersed and have fun with our project. And the truth is, doing stuff like the monitor series or any of these other collabs does not take away from development time at all. It actually gets us more motivated because our developers feel like the game is still going. The hype is still going. It makes them feel like I still have this interest and I really want to keep working on this. And that's not just for me. I mean, I'm always going to be motivated. I'm crazy like that. I will be forever working on this forever until it's done. Right. So I'm going to just be like, while I'm recording this, by the way, I'm on a 2-day break from doing work because my team told me, yeah, I have to take a break. They're like, you're done. You need a 2-day break. They ultimatum to me. They're like, nah, you're done, bro. Nah, you're done. You gotta go. And I'm like, okay. So I'm here on break so I can do and call things and watch things. I've been watching everyone's reactions to the monitor series. I swear to God, it's so cool. I am like, and I try and comment as many as possible to be like, yo, this is sick. And like, I have all these sweet messages of like, oh, that's so cool. Let's go. And I'm like, something was really funny. I asked a YouTuber to react to part 2 of the monitor series because they reacted to parts 1 through 4, and I don't think they knew about parts 5 through 8. And then they went, oh crap, I didn't. I'll go watch this right now. And then they uploaded a video later. And I feel so bad because it's like, I was kind of like being like, oh, you should go watch the other parts. You can get the whole story. And then they left that being like, I don't know what the fuck is going on here. This is just confusing. And I'm like,
watch it now.
And then they're like, I don't know what the fuck this is. Like, I don't even know. Like, I'm just confused as fuck. And I was like, okay, I feel bad now. It's going to explain all those other stories. And he's like, I don't know. I still don't know. So I'm like, okay, my bad, bro. I literally commented like, my bad. I literally said like, I'm sorry. It was so confusing. I was like, my bad, dude. I'm so sorry. It's not slowing down development or anything like that. So when it comes to release date, we're closer than we ever have been before. Obviously, that's how progression works. But nothing is like gone backwards. Like, it hasn't, like, we've ran into another roadblock that caused us to do anything. We're now like roadblockless. So like, this game probably would have been a lot easier if we didn't have any roadblocks, obviously. But we had a shit ton of roadblocks. And honestly, one of the things I'm really happy about is we got all of our animations done beforehand while doing those roadblocks. We didn't stop doing the animating while we were running through those roadblocks because we wanted to make sure that if we ever got that breakthrough that was just done, we're going to floor it. I'll be honest, we're flooring it now. So I'm saying when it comes to release date, no 2025. That's all I'm going to say. No October release date. It's going to be earlier than that. Let's just say that. It's soon. Oh. It's soon. Yeah.
Am I going to be in it?
Maybe we'll like put a little, we could put like a little segment that's like maybe it's just like the radio just like switches over to like our podcast like 2 seconds
after
the phone guy.
That
would
be
funny.
So cool if you did.
You never know, but I always tell so far, don't hold your breath.
Yay. This is my excited voice. Sorry, no, I'm just joking. I apologize. I didn't mean to. I am sorry if that came off as rude. That wasn't my
No,
that
no,
was
no,
my
you're
goal.
Fine.
Sorry.
Don't be sorry. Right, you're good.
So second to last question that we have, is there anything you would like to say to the fans at all?
I kind of already touched on this. I guess the biggest thing is, hey, if you have a platform like this, absolutely take your chances. All of my dev team thinks that it's impossible what I've been able to do, and like the managing style, and like they didn't think it was possible. They're like, they just doubted it. And then of course I was like, hey, we got it done. They're like, okay, that's pretty cool. And then we're able to do these collabs, and they were like, oh, that's so cool. And like, I think the biggest thing is, from the small ideas that I've done of just reaching out to more people and being a little bit more outward on like, hey, I think we should do this. This could be fun and stuff like that. And like having more fun with that project, I've been able to have my favorite YouTuber, my development team's favorite YouTuber, my friend's favorite YouTubers to talk about me, my character, hear my music, and post these videos like all the time for just my project alone. and I've been able to blow up this project on YouTube just from that, right? And I mean, of course, the idea itself is what blows it up too. But I do also think, like, the reason why we got, like, to get the Daco thing, like early access and Fusion and Razbowski, is all because I reached out. And I think if you have this position, do something with it. Now, whatever you do, that's all up to you. And, you know, you should take notes and advice from all the people who have been here and who want to share that opinion. Don't just take it from me. But I'm 18. I started this project when I was 17. I was a minor when I first did this project and it first blew up. Age is not a reason why you should stop trying to be creative. Now, there's a whole other thing to be saying about having a huge fan base when you're young, because that is a whole nother thing on its own. And it's a whole nother tough cookie to be around, because you can deal with so much hate or so much creepiness on the internet. And that in its own is an entire thing that you're going to have to deal with. Therapy. Like, oh my God. But it's not, if you have that start, at the end of the day, you can never guarantee you'll have that start. Money, fame, or nothing, like you can't just guarantee you're going to get that from that immediate start. It's always going to be given to you. And that's what's really sad, is I wish that it was just from skill alone, but someone can make the coolest fan game of all time. It could be amazing and no one might see it. There's no guarantee that you can see it. You might post it everywhere and no one will give it the light of day, right? But once you have that or anything like that, you can take it to heights even bigger and better than you can ever imagine. And take your friends with you. Dude, take your friends, your community, everyone, take those people with you. Because once you empower that entire community, that will be so rewarding. You'll get to see your friends, your fans, your the people around you, and not just your fans, just the people who exist in the community, thrive and get a little bit more happier. That means everything. Like, again, I really am just, I'm more happier that I'm able to give back to the community that meant so much to me, that inspired me as a person, than anything. To me, that's what means something the most. I'll be 100% honest. Like, that's the biggest thing for me.
Thank you, honestly. And I always tell people myself, anyone can achieve anything as long as you believe in it.
It's true. And I would like to say one thing. I'm not gonna, like, shut down your point or anything like that. I would like to say I do need to address that one of the reasons why this game blew up is because of just fame, right? And things just happen. Like, yeah. I'm really sorry, but, like, I in my personal opinion, I don't think it's as easy as it's just do something and you got it. I think work your absolute hardest, and that working, that mindset, all of those things that you do, all the goals that you hit, that will make it so that if you ever get lucky and you get that set of fame, you can do it so great. You can do it the best of your ability. You can be the best person you would want to be in that position, right? Because that's going to make you the greatest, right? But it is not just if you put all this effort in, if you work your heart and soul out, you're just going to get it, because the world isn't fair like that way, where it just gives you things for free. But when it does, that is not just, oh, now you have this, like, unfair freeness of just free it is. That's probably karma giving you some things right there. I believe in karma and things like that. It's basically like, now that you have this position, can you keep it? Can you do all of that hard work that you've been doing? And if you can, that's where I think the statement of put in all the hard work and then you'll be able to accomplish anything is true. Because once you have that small little platform, something you actually got, even if it's out of luck or out of fame or you have to owe it up to a fan base, it's on you to really kind of transform that and do whatever you want with that and go bigger and greater and promote other people, do whatever you want to kind of make it more of a positive or whatever fun thing you want to do, right? Like, that's where it comes the true part where I feel like that's on you. And I think that's something you should be absolutely proud of if you've worked your ass off to do that. That's my last.
So the final question that we have, who is brother?
Oh, I don't want to confirm any lore here, because, you know,
be as vague as possible.
As vague as possible.
Just go crazy. Just be vague.
Let's just say that brother isn't an amalgamation of any animatronics we've seen before. And let's just say that brother isn't Donovan's daughter. As a lot of people have thought, there's a different story going on with there. And you're just going to have to wait for the full game to see how that happens. And that's all I'm really going to say. That's a lot, but there you go. I hope you have fun with that.
You all, just everyone, just take what you got and just use whatever you have.
Let me just say, I have only heard one theory and scouring through YouTube comments, because I basically spent the entire 2 days just having fun and looking at everyone's videos. In the entire 2 days, I have not seen a single, I've only seen one single theory be correct about the ending.
Oh,
only it. The only, so ending, the only ending. Right. Everyone thinks a certain thing. They're all wrong. I'm just saying that. At the end of the day, also, though, I want it to be clear. If the community decides to make that the new ending, I'm really fine with that. Let them have fun. I'm gonna pull a Scott, and I'd rather have them create the lore than me, because honestly, it's more weight lifted off me. Yeah, yeah. But no, but yeah, I implore you to do a little bit of Matt padding, even though, of course, everyone, thank you so much to Matt. His retirement happened literally like an hour before we were supposed to record. Yeah, and it was the ship was blown.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's so sad. Like, Matt Pat will never be able to understand the he'll never get the lore of brother. No, what will I ever do?
We'll always have like people like FNAF or Rytos, I think.
Oh, yes,
we kind of John.
I don't know if John will ever cover my game. I have a feeling that John's a little more of I think he's more of official FNAF games. I mean, I would love to, and I even reached out to him before, because of course I try to reach out to everyone, right? Like, I try to reach out as many people as possible, and of course, to my surprise, so many people responded. So that's where I was like, I just try to reach out to anyone, but like, there's some people who hasn't responded, obviously, because again, I still have my own lane. I'm never gonna like. What I'm not gonna have Markiplier be like, yo, what's up, bro? I got you. Hello, everybody. My name is Markiplier, and I'm going to play Five Nights at Freddy's in real time. Now, this game, no, like we're never gonna hear those words ever come out of his mouth. And if they do come back to here, because I'll be Markiplier crying, bro.
FNAF fan game.
Well, he loves FNAF fan games. I'm like, there's no in good conscience I can ever say. Of course Markiplier is going to play him. Like, bro, how could I ever say that? That would be so crazy. I would feel crazy entitled if I was going to be like, oh, of course he's going to play my fan game because he played all these other fan games. Like, no, that's not. There's no guarantee. So I'm definitely not going to hat myself up as like, oh, because again, I also like in like my heart of like, I was trying to get like really deep. I was like, I really hope that maybe Matt Pat could play the game. He looks like he's going to be retiring. So, I mean, like, there's proof there that, you know, not everything works out in the end, right? As much as I'd love, like, all of my idols, all the people I followed forever to play my game or anything like that, because how awesome would that be? Because it's a dream, obviously. It's not always going to happen, right? So it's like, you know, we win some, we lose some. And to be honest, even though we're going to lose Matt Pat, he's not actually going to be gone, you know, because, like, we still have his presence here, and that's never going to leave. So, like, I'm still happy about everything that I'm very proud of him. But yeah, we got off track. But yeah, I guess that's really it. Brother is a very interesting character. I'm very excited to show what's going to happen. I don't know when this episode will air, but I'm going to release a little video of the teaser music, actually, that'll come out soon. And it has some more cool stuff about Brother. So yeah, lots of stuff that's going on. And you'll just have to see more of the Playtomatronic, as Daco would say. To take a look at this, someone called them Paperface, and that's a stupid name. I don't like that one. Oh, and someone was commenting, saying, guys, real time, please, if you see this, please name them Salvage. And they were like very, very, very strong that like we should name them Salvage. So Playtomatronic it is. But yeah.
I called him Plate Man when I first saw it. I had no clue.
Okay.
I thought I just got jump scared by a plate man. What just happened?
I got jump scared by the funny plate boy.
That's what everyone says. From every video, I'm just like, what was that? I just got jump scared by a plate. Gah. How dare I get jump scared by such a low life form? No, okay. yeah. Is that all the questions, or are you?
Yeah, we ran out of all the questions. You answered all of them by accident.
Well, I mean, it's definitely inspired, obviously. I mean, like, it's definitely the character's idea was inspired off of Scott's, like, real. I always, when I designed the character, I was always like, I love the idea of making a character that would be inherently, not inherently like the visual itself could be kind of spooky, but because of how I added the animal like features of the ears and like the way that he moves and like has the sort of emotional story that we're trying to do with him. I specifically feel like that like he kind of goes beyond of just like his visual of like, oh, he's just kind of scary looking and pieced together. It's like there's a lot greater story that I'm trying to tell with him. And to me, I always wanted something that in the actual visual, there's something. So his story goes greater and goes beyond what we've done with Monitor Series, because it's being planned for three whole games of an entire thing, right? So yeah. Again, you're just gonna have to play all three of them and explore the Monitor Series that comes out for each individual game. That's when I made a little tweet that was like, oh, season one, it's like we're planning to do a Monitor Series for each game, so just stay tuned for those when they come out, right? But yeah, there's so much more going to happen with Brother, and of course in our main game that's already going to happen, there's going to be plenty enough lore that you'll be able to get from there. But I'm really excited to share what we have so far, especially with our gameplay, the whole thing of the game, our collabs, and definitely with our story of Brother, because we've gotten some pretty cool fans who seem to love him already, and I can't wait to just bring you guys more content of the game and more content of Brother. I think it'll be fun. But yeah, for real this time. Real time studio, real time FNAF, Finance and Freddy's in real time, the animatronics move in real time, real time FNAF. copyrighted, sued, blocked, reported. No, I'm sorry.
If you ever put real in anything you ever do ever, you are sued.
Nope, you're sued. We're copyright striking you. It's over.
We will be suing you all.
You use the phrase real time. Oh, it's over. Oh, it's over. I will never.
It's over
never,
for you.
I will never forgive you. I'm done. You know what? I'm leaving. I'm leaving my room. I'm not even turning on my computer. I'm done. I'm just leaving this.
He's already left. Who needs an outro when they do it for us? You know?
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you all for watching, everybody.
Thank you for having me on the show. That was lots of fun. I'm glad I got to answer some questions. Thank you so much for having me on the show, guys. I had lots of fun.
Anytime.
It's been an honor, honestly.
Yeah. You are very welcome.
Yay. All right, I'm coming back tomorrow.
Yeah, sure, come back tomorrow. We'll do another episode. We'll do a rerun.
Another episode. Just keep talking more out of my ass all the time. The viewers are starting to be like, oh my god, he's saying the same thing again. Okay. All right. All right. Back that shit up. Okay. I'm off to a dev call, but thank you guys so much. I might stick around for like a couple minutes though if you guys want to chat. But yeah.
Right. I'd like to say thank you to James and Jackson and Taryn. Thank you for being on the podcast today, and we will be seeing you all next time on the next episode. For now,
thank you, y'all.
Bye, y'all.
Bye. Bye-bye.